For the record, we're holding a hearing at Quitlock. Your name, sir?
John L. Alexi. Originally from Akchuk, moved to Quitlock after I got married.
Oh, I see.
March 1967, I got drafted Army, and I went overseas to Vietnam. And on April 1, 1968, I think it was, I got burnt on the arm, and that might have included my eye too. You know, it's got artificial eye right now. With the burns on my right side.
You were in Vietnam then?
Yeah. And I don't know why federal government never gave me any benefits for it, even after I got out of the Army. And right now, these matters are taken care of by one of the Alaska Legal Service worker, Marty Norenstone. And she's been trying to find my records of my accident in Vietnam. I got some part of the records that are showing in my house.
Well, we're not really equipped to do anything about a particular case like that. We're really looking into land claims, what people think of land claims. Mm-hmm. 1991, the corporation's subsistence, those kinds of questions, the land. So that's really why we're here.
Yeah, I thought that would be a thing to talk about. Willie Casale to come and talk to you guys.
Oh, I see.
It. Yeah.
Well, David, is there anything?
You were injured in 67 or 68 or 68?
68. I got medical records.
Where were you in 71, in 1971? And were you back here?
I came back, finished my tour in Anchorage, Fort Richardson.
Mm-hmm. And were you back in Alaska when the Claims Act was passed?
Mm-hmm. I got my land claims, and I'm using it for subsistence right there.
And did you get some land from the corporation or under the Claims Act? Did you get some land?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is that located near here, or?
It's only about eight miles away from this place, using the river.
And that, is that a fish camp?
Mm-hmm. Fish camp, yeah.
Did that land, did you get the land from the corporation, from the village corporation?
From Native Claims.
Was it an allotment? Or
mm-hmm. Allotment.
Allotment. And did you apply for that allotment before you went to Vietnam, or after you got back, or was it somebody else's allotment?
That was after I got back. Mm-hmm. I think it was 1971. When that person came to fill in applications.
Do you have the allotment? Have you received all the papers for the allotment now?
Yeah, I got it. They're in my house.
How big is it? How big is your allotment?
About 160 acres. That's written on the
deed.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a fish camp there?
Mm-hmm. I got my papers paid the $12 fees for and they said that land is mine now.
Did you know about the Claims Act in 1971 when the law was being passed? Or when did you find out about the claims?
When they first when it was first organized to let the native people get the lands.
Mm-hmm. You remember what year that would have been that you had first have heard of the Claims Act?
About 71, same. That's about all I got.
Okay.
So maybe if you don't mind, we could get you to talk a little bit about the way how the village is doing and the corporation and the whole land claims business. About ANCSA and how we're here in the corporation office, how you've made out with land selections, how the 1991 is what we're most interested in, how you feel about that and what you think might be done and so forth. Those things.
Okay, my personal view on 1991.
Yeah.
It won't make that much difference mm-hmm. on the current situation of our peoples and status for Kwikuk Incorporated, along with the native peoples here. That is my own opinion. Okay, this is Willie Andrew. He's working for our village corporation as a land manager. And back in 1979, I believe, BLM issued our village corporation an interim conveyance. Okay.
Yeah, was that for most of your land?
Okay, that was for about approximately 95%.
Mm-hmm. In 79, that must have been one of the earlier interim conveyances.
It was back in, I think, July of 79. We're still in the process of... trying to settle the provisions of the requirements of ANCSA. Okay, one setback we have is, from my point of view, is the lawsuit Algonquin versus, I believe, United States government. Okay, that's the Algonquin case.
How do you spell that?
Algonquin case, A-L-E-K.
N-A-G-I-K.
Yeah.
Okay.
The town site, it's the town site.
It deals with the lands within the town site itself. Okay, those lands which were vacant as of December 17, 1971. Okay, we just established a land department. By resolution, and we hired Willie Andrew as our land planner and land manager for that department. Okay, from what I see, our business profit-making business activities won't change that much in the next 5-10 years.
What are the profit-making business activities at the moment?
Okay, currently we operate the electrical utilities, which we took over from the organized village of Kwikuk, which is the same thing as the IRA government. Okay, there are electrical plant which used to be located on that end of the village burned down, and they had to get some revenues. Okay, that was a good opportunity for our village corporation to invest in that and operate it for a profit.
And how long have you been operating?
Since 75, I think.
The utility, you've been running the electrical utility since 75.
Well, I can't really say for turned down probably early 70s.
No, that's okay, but the number of years.
Okay, the sports store and several rental property housing units.
While you were going on from there to say that you didn't think that 1991 would really have an effect on your Village Corporation's activities.
Okay, last, when was the AFN convention?
October of last year. Was the
October 83.
Okay, I was one of the participants of that convention. They brought up several items of concern, but if the people realize that they can take care of those problems on a local basis, there's really no problem to those. And we haven't done anything about them yet, but we're still trying to meet the deadline of reconveying the lands under 14C of Angska.
Oh, so you're going to be transferring the 1,280 acres very soon. Is that the intention?
Well, right now that is our goal, I think. But I don't know how the other board of directors feel about that.
And are you doing other 14C reconveyances to individuals as well? Have you started that process?
Okay, we're just in the starting phases of organizing the land department.
I see.
We still have to develop our policies and guidelines for and establish certain criteria for determining those who are eligible and who aren't eligible to receive those 14C rate conveyances. And our land manager is still researching that aspect of ANCSCA.
And were the do you have any other profit-making ventures outside of the village, outside of the electrical company and the store and the apartments, rentals? You have investments?
We have a trust fund established for our village corporation, and we use interests to operate the organization of Quickly Incorporated.
And so you don't have to really dip into your principal and the trust fund?
Well, I think last year was the worst year for interest rates, so we had to dip in a little bit.
Well, they're going up again, so.
It's good. we need operating capital, especially after we started up the land department.
I see.
In general, how have the other investments been going over the years? The store and the company and the electrical company and so forth.
Okay. What I think initially happened to Quickly Incorporated in the early years, like 75 to 80, was several of the Telista region villages merged to form a merger company, Yuktok Fish Company. And that, I think, funneled a lot of our funds and we ended up losing half of what we invested on that.
So, did that put an end to joint ventures with Telista, or?
Well, with other village corporations. Okay, let's say we're now more careful of how we invest our funds and. And currently, right now, there's still another joint venture operation that was established, which is the Angelvik Corporation. And it was with the some of the other villages around here. But it still hasn't gone into operation yet because of some difficulties we ran into, like the building wasn't properly built. It wasn't built for industrial standards. It didn't meet industrial standards.
What was the purpose of the venture, the joint venture, that joint venture?
Okay, Angelvik, the Angelvik was, I think, initially set up so they can manufacture aluminum or metal boats and market them in this region and possibly move into other regions inside Alaska or maybe outside Alaska.
And would this take place in Bethel or elsewhere, the manufacturing?
Okay, the manufacturing part of the deal, I think, was that the boats were going to be built here.
And were in Quislik or?
In Quislik.
And were you joining venturing then with several other villages?
Yes, but that didn't start off right away. So the other villages kind of sold their stocks to us, and we purchased them.
And is there any other non-native firm involved in the joint venture? Or is it,
well, I don't think there's any non-native involvement in that. Okay, since the Yuktap joint venture, I think our corporation is kind of wary on investing into a joint venture operations after that experience.
Maybe Willie Andrew could tell us a little bit about the newly established land department. Would that be all right?
Yeah. Well, actually, I got employed on April the 23rd of this spring. And I've been working on the procedures given out by Quiklik Incorporated Board of Directors.
Here?
Yeah.
And I have been working close with them. And I've been traveling over to Anchorage for some Land Management Association meeting. It's took place in about middle part of May. And I haven't done much of planning, but I've been looking at some native allotments which were inside of our tentative selected land. It's there's that map, that layout of our tentative selection with the black line around it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that your withdrawal area?
Yes.
That's the withdrawal area surrounded by the black line. Mm-hmm. What are the boxes with the X's in?
The boxes with X's, I guess, were the additive land that
well, the one in the middle is the core township.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The other four are
village core township.
Mm-hmm. I still haven't get some records from Anchorage that would show the at least approximate how many people own some land in the tentative area. And as far as I far as my record goes, there's about at least 40 something applicants. And
for allotments?
Yes. And within the area, within selected area.
How does that compare with other villages? Do you have any idea?
The way I look at it, there's more people here. Bethel has more shareholders, and Quilter comes next.
Oh, really?
And there's quite a bit of native allotment applicants and.
Well, is Quislook then just second to Bethel in size in Chilista region?
How many shareholders do you have?
452 by, with the computer prints, they're about 452.
452 with the what?
Shareholders.
All computer prints.
Okay, those are 452 individuals that were alive as of December 17, 1971.
Oh, that was the original.
Those who qualified for the ANSCA permission.
Could
benefits.
Be more shareholders because some have died and passed on shares to additional people and that kind of.
Okay, the shares issued remain unchanged, but those who died, you know, they leave their wills and their shares. Go to those whom they want.
The number of shares remain the same, but the number of shareholders might be different.
Yes.
How many shareholders live in the village here, and how many live out of town, either in Bethel or Anchorage?
About roughly about 80%
live here in town.
Yes, more.
See, I think that's more like a little over 90%.
I know there's some shareholders way over in Oklahoma, Montana, New Jersey, Maine.
Really?
Yes. That were, you know, were born here in the village. They went out to college and they got married to somebody outside.
Did you say earlier, you had interim conveyance of how much of your land?
I'd say about 95%, more or less.
How typical is that of villages around here to have that much of a land conveyed, interim conveyed?
I wouldn't really know. I guess you'd have to ask BLM.
Yeah. You're the president, are you?
No, I'm the member of the board of directors.
Oh, I see. And you're an employee.
Yes.
We were talking with some of the people, you know, I've held hearings all over the state now since February, and we just had a hearing at Akiachuk, at which about 40 people testified, and we were there for a couple of days, and there were a lot of people at the meeting, and so we've held hearings like that all over the state, and people are concerned about the possibility of some of the shareholders agreeing to sell their shares in 1991. That is, outsiders might make offers for shares. Some people might start selling them, and they're afraid that the native corporations might slowly fall into non-native hands. I think you were going to talk about that, David, or perhaps you weren't, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Currently I've been examining the pros and cons of that issue, but I haven't made any final decisions or judgments.
Well, let's. We can't explore that any further then.
But one possibility I've been looking at is on that issue of shareholder stock alienation. Okay, that we as a group of shareholders under a ANSCA corporation decide to make some policies that were within the corporate laws of the state of Alaska and the federal government, if we were able to somehow make some policies or bylaws, stuff like that, on the purchase of stock. Okay, if we can design that so our stockholders
are protected.
Well, yeah, sort of protected.
Or so they can only sell to, with giving you the right to buy the stock first.
Yes, something
or
like that.
Restrict the vote to natives only. Those are the kinds of things that you're...
Well, I don't think we really can't restrict any votes on those shares.
Well, there's a legal provision that would permit you to do it, but you may not be able to get the shareholders to agree to it or something, but there's the federal law permits that kind of restriction.
Well, I guess the people will decide, mm-hmm. not the board of directors or policymakers.
But you are interested in looking at some of these options then for restricting the stock or giving you a right of first refusal or something like that on the sale, is that correct?
Well, personally I've been studying the issue very, very closely, but I haven't been able to make any real concrete decisions on,
sure.
So I can tell the rest of the stockholders this is the way to go, or sort of like that.
Has any discussion come up or interest been shown in the land bank? Is that of any interest to your corporation?
Well, personally speaking, I don't think it's such a good idea for our village corporation to make any agreements with the state of Alaska.
Why do you say that?
Well, looking at their record and how they treat the natives of the state in regards to subsistence laws, etc. Okay, it's been a current trend in my observation that fish and game, I mean fish and wildlife resource usage for subsistence under law has been getting stricter and stricter, like every three or four pass a new law, mm-hmm. and they sort of are gaining more control on that issue. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think it's a better idea for our village corporation to retain the lands without really using the land banks.
Well, the land bank at the moment is under federal legislation. The land that goes into the land bank would be managed by the federal. The state is preparing its own land bank legislation, and I guess it's along the same lines, so that it would go into under state regulation. Do you feel the same way about a federal land bank as you do about the state land bank?
Well, there's I don't think there'll be that much difference in the policies of the state and the federal government, so mm-hmm. it's about equal. Mm-hmm. And also the since the state hasn't made any policies or doctrine on how they're going to actually manage the lands, so we're kind of skeptical on that point. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting the outcome of the state's position.
Well, you said that you were concerned about the state's position on subsistence. What do you do here in your village corporation if people in the village want to use corporation lands for subsistence? Do you charge them anything for it, or is everybody free to go out on the land for subsistence?
The corporation land, I
mean. Okay, the corporation is owned by the shareholders, so in effect they're owners of the land. Mm-hmm. So currently they're pretty much free to go out and utilize those lands as long as they're within state and federal regulations on hunting, fishing, game, and stuff like that.
You don't make them buy a permit from you, though, to do it?
Okay, we've been looking at that issue, especially for sporting and non-shareholders, because we feel like, from what we've seen year after year, there the non-shareholder users of the state land south of us are increasing because of the ideal fishing zones on Kuhluk River. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good fishing.
Sport fishing, hunting, etc. Camping, hiking. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but we've been approached by Fish and Wildlife Service with a hearing on whether or not we should allow Fish and Wildlife to issue a permit to this interested party for sport fishing guide.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Okay.
And there was an ad in the Tundra Drums about that, wasn't there?
You've seen it then, right?
Yes, but perhaps you could tell us a little bit about the background of that. We just read the ad on the way up.
Okay, but Fish and Wildlife, they set up a hearing on the 15th of May, I believe, and local residents were concerned. And using their concerns, the village corporation, the city of Kuihluk, and the IRA council
of
under a joint meeting passed and approved a joint resolution. We have a copy of it someplace. Maybe I put it on the
Yes, I kept a copy from the paper, as a matter of fact.
Well, City of Kuihluk represents the public interests of the residents of Kuihluk, and IRA Council is the governing body for the village of Kuihluk, organized under the Department of Interior back in 1930s, 40s. Okay, and our village corporation is much more current.
It was formed more recently, you mean?
Okay, I believe it was Kuskokwim Safari's request for a sport fishing guide permit for operation during July and September near or adjacent to Kuihluk Incorporated selected lands. Okay, from what we noticed in the past, the Fish and Wildlife Service issued a bear hunting guide permits for operation in Kuihluk and Kisa rivers before local and surrounding village residents were given the opportunity to present their views.
Is this the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service, or is it State
it's
Fish and Wildlife Service?
It's in Fish and Wildlife Service.
Is there a wildlife refuge or something around here?
Well, I think it's the Clarence Rhodes
Okay.
Wildlife Refuge.
Okay.
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay, that was a requirement under Alaska National Interest Conservation Act of December 1980, that local area residents are to be
consulted,
yes, using that term, or asked if that would be permitted. Okay. Well, during the public hearing, local residents with subsistence campsites and native allotments along the Kuhuk River voiced that increased motorboat activity might somehow affect the spawning of fish species. Also, they were concerned that from the past occurrences that some of these spurred fishermen have created wanton waste, like they catch fish. They catch fish more than they need or want, and then they just throw the carcasses away, stuff like that.
Do you know the results of this hearing at all?
Okay, I think Kuskokwim Safari withdrew their request. Okay, we made it a point that U.S. Fish and Wildlife doesn't issue any sport fishing or sport hunting guide permits within our areas before the affected area village residents were asked before in a public hearing. I don't know what this resolution will have effect on future activities of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but I hope it's...
Well, publishing it in the Tundra Drums certainly brought it to everyone's attention. So,
yeah, that was probably in the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge, I guess, this whole area. I didn't realize it, but this whole area is this wildlife refuge, number 15 on the...
I think Clarence Roach or... Yukon.
No, this is indicated to be Yukon. Number 15 is Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. And Clarence Rose, I always thought was out here on the coast.
Yeah, it was somewhere near before, I think, Anoka.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, I see.
And Anoka must have been enlarged and called it the Delta Wildlife Refuge.
Well, we have to be taking our boat down to Bethel to get the plane, but thanks for letting us drop in on you here at the office. We've been holding this hearing at the office of the Kwethlek Incorporated, the village corporation of Kwethlek, and so we do appreciate your letting us come in and giving us your time.
Especially since we didn't have any notice.
I have a question myself.
Yeah, go ahead.
What were the other concerns that the people voiced on your hearing?
Well, we've been all over the state, really. And so, for instance, just about everywhere we go, people say, well, why weren't the children born after December 18th, 1971, included in the settlement? Why does it depend on when their parents die and whether they leave their shares to them, whether or not they're going to get shares? So they're concerned about the next generation not being part of this whole settlement. Then people are concerned about 1991. What happens if today we stopped at a fish camp and one of the witnesses said, what if an oil company wants the land that's held by one of these village corporations and they come around and try to get villagers to sell their shares until they've got a majority, then they will own the village lands, not the villagers. Then people are concerned about, suppose Alaska runs out of money and imposes a tax on property, then what'll happen, because 20 years after conveyance, land becomes taxable. So those are some of the things.
What I feel on taxes are people vote to be taxed, like for our property. The city of Kwikalu cannot tax the property here without first putting it on ballot. I think that's the same way for the state government and possibly for the federal government. So the people will, I think, decide.
Yes, well, I think the concern that others have expressed is that the native corporations are the largest owners of private land in the state, and if the state in the future, when Kudo Bay runs out, wanted some more money and they were looking around and said, let's have a property tax, then the native corporation lands are a big target, because they're the largest area of private land in the state. But that, I'm just repeating to you what people have said. They're also concerned about subsistence. They're concerned about sovereignty, self-government, and...
Well, under our sovereignty, I think the people have been practicing it all along, with or without the state and federal governments say-so or stuff like that.
What do you mean? They've been practicing it all along.
Well, to me, sovereignty is having a choice of a lifestyle.
Well, that's a good way of putting it, and I think people feel in some parts of the state, that their choice has been limited, that subsistence has been diminished. Here in the Kuskokwim, the hearings we've held in the Kuskokwim and Yukon Delta indicate that people feel they still have that choice, but they don't want to be forced to give it up. They're kind of a little worried about the future, I suppose.
Well, from what I see, people are more and more dependent on caste economies to the caste economy to support their subsistence activities. Where in the past, before Columbus discovered America, or America discovered Columbus, wherever that goes.
Columbus encountered America.
However that goes, they were totally independent, and the only real limiter was the environment in which they lived and the conditions.
Well, thanks again. I wish we had more time here, and I'm glad you were willing to talk to us on this very very limited notice, and good luck to both of you and the work of your corporation.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you tell me when we're ready.
Okay, go ahead.
We're resuming the hearing here at Questlike, and we're talking to Frank Nicorai, who's the business manager of Questlike Incorporated. And since, David, you're an old friend of Frank's, why don't you two carry on?
Oh, well. It's been a long time since we've seen each other. Hope we're still friends.
Yes, I think it's been land managers meeting up in Fairbanks last year since I saw you.
Yeah.
Are you, what's your position with the Kwisatz Corporation?
Well, I'm vice chairman of the Village Corporation Board, and I'm also the business manager for the Kwisatz Incorporated. Mm-hmm. And I've been working as a business manager for a couple of years now, but I've been on the Village Corporation Board since 1973. It's 11 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. Are have there been other people on the board for that length of time?
No. I think I'm the only one that's been on there for that length of time since it got incorporated, and there's only one other person that has been on that board for maybe for about half that length.
Uh-huh. David was telling us about the profit-making activities of the corporation, but we were starting to talk about subsistence, and he said the policy of the corporation is not to require permits of any of the shareholders who want to use the land of the corporation for subsistence, but that the whole question of non-shareholder use is now becoming an issue. Is that any comments on that?
Well, Mr. Berger, I think right now, or very recently, we just started working on our land issue. That's we're working on our selected lands, and we're going to be setting up policies, and we're going to be working on 14C, and we have not required any permits for any of our shareholders to do any hunting or any type of subsistence activities